I'm Brian.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And welcome to episode 280.
Nice little round number.
Well, you like even numbers. I like odd numbers.
Well, who's our guest this week, Griff?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have a passion about something that I don't think our audience knows about.
What's that?
I like fashion.
You do like fashion.
Yeah. So I subscribe to a few fashion magazines. I think it's really an incredible art form. I'm not an expert. I am a hobbyist and I love following it all. But our guest this week is beyond hobbyist. She's our very own category manager for the pre-owned fashion team. And her name is Kate Danielson. And Kate is here to talk about what her team sees as on trend for the year ahead as it relates to eBay sellers, especially of pre-owned clothing.
I think that'll be an exciting one.
So we're going to talk to Kate. Hopefully we'll get some great details and information and advice for those of us who source pre-owned fashion.
Fantastic.
And I assume, because I checked the roster, do we have any news this week?
Well, there will be one piece of news that's actually going to go out after this podcast or after this recording.
What is it?
So we made a slight change to the view on, or we're rolling out a change to the view on feedback. If you're already on mobile and you're looking at a feedback page, you'll see that underneath the feedback, it'll say verified purchaser. And some of our sellers and buyers have said, why is this? You have to buy the product to be able to be verified. Well, the reason that we put it there is not all feedback systems in e-commerce or on the web require someone to be involved in a transaction to be able to leave feedback. And we've done some surveys. About 50% of the buyers and sellers on our platform, when we ask them about feedback without any information there, they're either unsure or they believe anybody who wants to can leave a feedback. And so by putting verified purchaser, it'll make it clearer that these are two people that are involved in a transaction.
Oh.
So that's the one piece of news that will be live as our listeners hear this.
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
It is.
Yeah, that's terrific. So we'll see that on mobile first, or are we going to see it on mobile and desktop?
It's out on mobile now and beginning to be introduced on the desktop as we speak.
Well, I'm glad to hear that I'll be verified for the first time after all these years.
Yes.
Any other news?
Well, I have a small news item.
Yeah.
But I want to save it for the very end of the episode, if you don't mind.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Any hints?
Nope. No hints. You'll just have to wait till the end of the show to find out what it is.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. In the meantime, let's talk to Kate. It's Fashion Week in New York City. I had the pleasure of stumbling into the main tent when it used to be at the Bryant Park behind the New York Public Library. This is way back in 2002. And since that time, selling fashion, whether it's new or pre-owned on eBay, has become a big, big part of so many sellers' businesses. And joining us today to talk about trends and what her team sees as upcoming trends for this year and beyond, so it can help you better source, is the category manager for the pre-loved category at eBay, pre-loved fashion, Kate Danielson. Kate, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat.
Can you give us a little bit before we start, sort of an overview of what your team does?
I work on the fashion team at eBay, specifically focusing on apparel. And my team helps sellers everywhere from brands to large to mid-sized small businesses, and then customers everywhere on the seller spectrum, identify what is happening in the fashion world and how people can find that on eBay. We work with sellers and buyers to bring fashion and apparel to life on the eBay site.
How does what's happening in the fashion world, or say, for example, what we're going to see in the next week during Fashion Week, how does that impact the small business seller who's looking and sourcing pre-loved apparel? How does that impact them?
That's a great question, because I think it directly impacts the pre-loved or just general fashion seller, and I think it impacts them immediately. One of the great things about eBay versus something like a Farfetch or a Net-a-Porter, which has luxury fashion available almost as soon as it hits the runway, is eBay has decades and decades worth of fashion history available on site. And most people can't afford ready-to-wear fashion at full price in season. eBay provides buyers the opportunity to take what they see over Fashion Week and take the trends that make them excited and go and hunt for pieces that can help them bring that vision to life. If we see something trending during Fashion Week, then on my end, I can see search volume and search history of all of the buyers on eBay and what they're looking for today, what they're looking for in the last week. Sellers get the opportunity to kind of leverage what's happening at Fashion Week and immediately transition their approach or highlight the inventory that they have that reflects those trends and interests.
It's a little too early, I assume, to predict what's going to be trending for Fashion Week since it's just kicking off, I think, as we're recording. But if you look back to last year, were you involved in Fashion Week in 2023?
eBay was not directly involved in New York Fashion Week last year. However, our events and our marketing always does reflect what's going on with Fashion Week across all categories in fashion. I will say that, as I was mentioning previously, what was trending during Fall Fashion Week kind of directly impacted what happened during holiday sales or what people could expect in early 2024. It's always part of the cycle.
Do you have any examples or an example from last fall of something that was indicative of a trend based on what you saw during Fashion Week in 2023 that directly impacted what inventory was on eBay or what buyers were looking for?
Yeah, so I have, and I think this is a result of Fashion Week, but also just a result of kind of street style over the last few months. And more recently, it's been distilled into this thing called the mob wife trend, which, you know, I don't know that I agree with that phrasing necessarily, but one of the things that really, I mean, we're in New York, it's the middle of winter, it's cold. What we're seeing is a real rise in things like fur coats and animal prints. And that has been something that I think people kind of picked up. For instance, Wales Bonner and Adidas collaborated on, they have several collaborations, and their most recent drop had a pair of animal print sneakers that have kind of been all over social for the last few weeks. And that was, I think, the beginning, the trickling of this trend. And then animal print has kind of made its way back into street style and will definitely be on the sidewalks around New York Fashion Week over the next few days. But we see both of those things and then kind of an extension of those things in the search and then the purchase data on eBay. So while outerwear is always really popular over the months of December through February, we're seeing specific searches for brands and search terms like fur, like rabbit or whatever, that result in those fur coats or, you know, python belts, python boots, that kind of thing. Cheetah print. So yes, we see those kind of immediately start trending and then translating into category improvements. And then however we can, we try to collect those pieces into curated landing pages or curated selections via social and highlight those pieces so that it's more shoppable for the buyer.
And then the last piece of that equation, I assume, is that if you're out as a seller sourcing wherever you source, whether that's thrift stores or estate sales, if you're finding something that matches these particular trends, whether it's in streetwear or fashion in general that have animal prints or faux fur or rabbit fur or snakeskin or python or any of the other particular patterns and trends, that this is your opportunity to ride that wave, so to speak, source that inventory and get it up on eBay.
Yes. And I'd also say, you know, that's a trend that's happening right now. So I think looking ahead a few weeks or a couple of months is always probably even more beneficial because you want to make sure that you have the inventory available and ready. That's not to say, I mean, I think eBay is kind of a library of fur coats, if you will. I think there are amazing pieces that you can find on eBay and that people are looking for those distinctive items. One of the things that I'll say is kind of amazing about what we're seeing in fashion right now and what eBay provides to the buyer is the economy is kind of confusing. People are a little bit nervous. People want to spend their money in a way that they think they're making good decisions. And over the last couple of years, basically since the pandemic, people have been emphasizing trying to create and then sell, and then people will buy investment pieces and things that they're going to have for years and years or things that are worth repairing. And there's that element of it. And then there's the element of personal style and creativity. So in our, and kind of like the back end of eBay, what we're seeing is people are looking for not necessarily luxury brands, but trusted brands. Like Ralph Lauren and Chanel are always very high-searched brands, not necessarily New York Fashion Week brands, but they're always successful brands because people trust not only the brand, but the craftsmanship. And when New York Fashion Week comes around and this quiet luxury trend that was really popular last year, it's because people are looking for those pieces that can just be their forever wardrobe. And eBay, again, is a treasure trove for buyers to find those pieces. So I would also say in the pre-loved space specifically, elevating pieces that are not necessarily following trends, but that are just great items for someone to collect in their wardrobe is kind of the basis of success for eBay sellers. And then the exciting layer on top of that is fashion is fashion. If you're buying a kind of a basic investment piece, you're going to want to zhuzh it up and make it your own. And for instance, people are expecting in this next fashion week, matching sets or monochrome, which isn't necessarily a new trend, but things like that. You kind of think of that as the foundation of an outfit, and then you make it more exciting with accessories or different bits and bobs that you add to the look. And that's where things like this mob wife trend or the animal print come in, and you're not spending all of your money on the core of the outfit, but rather the details. And so eBay has a lot of those details and those cool accessories or those cool pieces that you can layer onto these things that are just going to be there for the course of your wardrobe's life.
So what you're saying is it's not so much that although trends are important, the overarching trend isn't necessarily a particular style or fashion or brand, but it is the trend that you're seeing that a lot of buyers of pre-owned fashion are looking to make their own statement about how they look. So it's their own individual style. I would assume that that translates into finding really high quality, but also unique, whether they're old or recent, pieces of apparel that are going to be in your wardrobe and not necessarily in anyone else's.
Yes, exactly. And that's vintage is always an exciting thing for people to search for on eBay. And then things like belts or boots or even, you know, bracelets, jewelry, accessories, that scarves. Those are kind of the layers that we're seeing a bump in the last year or so, because I think just while we're going through this phase in the global economy, people are looking to make an impact by spending as little as they can. And whether that impact is personal style and creativity or whether it's in an investment piece, those are kind of the two buckets that I think are the most important on eBay. And then also we're seeing reflections of that in Fashion Week and fashion in general.
So we're always trying to help our seller audience, and our audience is primarily sellers, figure out what they should be investing in for inventory. But are there certain cautions when it comes to sourcing pre-owned fashion that sellers should keep an eye out for so they're not purchasing it or putting money in an investment that's not going to, you know, result in a good return when they list it on eBay?
Yeah, and I think this varies kind of depending on the size of the seller. If you're a large-scale seller with a small to medium-sized business, it's really about the relationships with who you're sourcing. In those cases, you are generally sourcing in bulk, and you just want to make sure that you've kind of sussed out who you're speaking with, and you've asked questions about where they're getting the clothes and how they're treating the clothes. And I think that is a more formal type of relationship. If you are a smaller scale or peer-to-peer seller, then it's kind of the same thing. It's like, if you found this at a thrift store, do you trust that thrift store? Have you been there before? Have you found amazing pieces from that place in the past? You can't always guarantee that. But then you look for things like, what does the tag look like? What information is available on the item of clothing itself? Something that is not necessarily related to authenticity, but is related to the overall quality and trust associated with an item is, we're increasingly getting feedback that people want to know the material content of their item. Look for a tag that has the material content on there. That's also kind of indicative, especially if you're shopping a luxury brand. Not to say all luxury brands use luxury materials. That's a, you know, we don't want to go there. But you can kind of just pick up the hints. If you have any questions yourself, then you'll know that your buyer is going to have probably those same questions, and it might not be worth the investment. And trust is the number one thing for at least pre-loved sellers on eBay, is you want to build that relationship with your buyer so that they keep coming back to you to find those pieces. And a negative experience, whether or not the item is real is going to have more of an effect than a single sale.
That's really a good point, though, about quality, little aspects like the tag showing the material. I always look at craftsmanship, making sure that the construction of a piece of clothing, when I'm looking for men's clothing, for example, is as high quality as possible. Here at the podcast, we're always advising people who tell us, hey, I'm not selling, and I'll go look at their inventory. I could see where the appeal was when they sourced it. It's really inexpensive, but sort of generic, mid-range quality apparel with no brand and nothing really special that sets it apart, except for the fact that it was probably really cheap to source. You should probably stay away from that. There's too much of it out there anyway. Do you run into that as well?
I would say eBay has everything. It does not focus on a particular category of inventory. So we have the fast fashion brands available pre-loved on site. We also have ultra luxury and couture available on sites and everything in between. That said, if you are sourcing something cheaply, then you want to make informed decisions. Just because something is cheap to buy doesn't mean it's going to turn a profit. You want to consider who is your buyer, what are they looking for, and does this piece solve that equation?
And we should mention, we don't want to leave out eBay resources to help. So sold listings is always a good way to get a snapshot of what's happening right now with what's selling in a particular category. But don't forget Terapeak. You can do brand research on Terapeak and get a good idea, not just for value, but also for trends, for demand. And that can help inform you whether you're doing this at home or if you're outsourcing in the field, using these tools at making snap decisions when you're faced with purchasing a piece of apparel can really help with that decision. So you make it as a smart decision and not one that's just, well, I hope it sells, but I don't really know.
Exactly.
Kate, I didn't ask you and I should have asked you in the beginning, what's your background with fashion? Has this been a hobby or a passion for you in your life?
Thank you for asking. I started in fashion when I was 14. I worked on the retail sales floor at a mall brand, and then I jumped around various mall brands for almost 10 years. So I worked in fashion, I guess, from 14 all the way through college. Then I actually went into sustainability. So I worked at a global environmental nonprofit, not directly related to fashion. I didn't know what my place was in fashion at the time, even though it was always something that I was interested in. And while I was at that environmental research job, I encountered the intersection of fashion and sustainability through circularity and the secondhand market. Then I shifted my career back towards fashion with a specific focus on pre-loved. And before eBay, I was in grad school. I worked directly with a number of brands and wholesalers, and now I am at eBay.
And enjoying it, I hope.
Yes, this is exactly what I hoped I would do when I figured out how to combine those interests. I'm very happy to be on the fashion team here.
Do you get a chance in your role there to actually talk with or meet with sellers of all different types?
That is one of my favorite parts of the job. I love learning from sellers. Sellers have amazing stories about not only how they started on eBay, but how they run their businesses and what inspired them to start their businesses. And being even a small part of ushering forth some success for our sellers is so inspiring. And I love hearing seller stories, and it makes my job that much easier.
You never run out of those stories, I find, after 25, almost 28 years here at eBay. They just keep coming, and that's what makes the job fun.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for sharing your insights in this. I've learned something. I think our audience has learned something as well. If you have any questions, you can always send them to podcast@ebay.com. Happy to try to answer them ourselves, either Brian or me or someone on the team. But if we need an expert, we can always go directly to Kate and get her insight as well. Kate, thanks so much, and continued success with the category. And I hope you have a great time during Fashion Week. I'm kind of jealous.
Thank you. It's been great talking to you.
Kate Danielson is the category manager for the pre-loved fashion category here at eBay. You should keep up on fashion if you're a seller of new or pre-owned fashion by either researching or following the other tips that we talked about.
You got questions?
Well, we've got answers. And we have three questions this week, Brian. Would you read our first email?
Sure. It comes from eBay seller Jared, who writes, "Hi, Brian and Griff." And Griffin Bryant. They're covering all the bases.
Yeah, good for you, Jared.
I had a question about purchasing shipping labels via eBay Ship Your Order. The post office I drop off my package at is close to where I work, so it is a different zip code than my business zip. I usually change the ship from zip code to the USPS store where I drop off my orders. Apparently, the stores don't get credit if it is a different zip code. So my return address on the shipping label would be my business address, but it would show ship from the USPS location zip. Recently, when I change my ship from address like I normally do, it is showing the USPS address as my label's return address with my business name. Nothing has changed on my part. Did eBay make any changes to this? I have since kept the ship from address to my business address and zip, so there are no issues. But I do want that post office to get credit for receiving my packages. Love your podcast, Jared, and my store name is JPH Products.
And when I read this email, I had to think about this a lot because I think I know what he's doing. I've heard this as well, but not just from USPS. I've heard it from UPS too. Depending on where you ship, the store gets credit. So I guess maybe this is a USPS store and not necessarily a PO location.
And when he says credit, it's like they get credit for shipping that. So they're tracking how many items are going through, but I would think they could just track them.
Yeah. And I don't know what the credit is beyond, do you get like a, I don't know, you get a certain number of credits and you get a coupon for Walmart? I have no idea. I want to tell Jared first off, look, I think it's great. You want to make sure your USPS store gets credit for your package. And that's admirable. And it is possible that the zip code for your business location is also included in the overall area for USPS drop-off. Just because your store is located in a particular zip code, they may get credit for a wider range right. of zip codes. So you may want to find out that. But your first priority, as I'm sure you know, you want to just get the package out. And if it's convenient for you to ship from that USPS store, then continue doing so. But when it comes to the address functionality, and I think you know this, you can indicate a return address and a ship from address. But it sounds like what's happening here is that eBay's been auto-correcting an address with a mismatched zip code so that you're putting in your address with that zip code and eBay's saying, no, we just checked it against the database and this zip code, especially if it's that nine-number zip code, you know, the 5 and the 4, is just changing it back to your address. So I'm not absolutely sure that's happening, but it sounds like what it's happening, if that's the case, as you've noticed, then there's no way to support what you're trying to do in order for the USPS store to get credit for your shipment.
Yeah, and I don't know of any recent changes to how return addresses are formatted. But it does appear that if you're using the USPS store zip code, it will now automatically change the return address to that of the store.
Yeah.
And as Griff said, if you really want to make sure your local PO gets credit for the shipments, consider having your shipments picked up by USPS. You can learn more about this free service on the USPS website. Just search Google on USPS pickup service.
Yeah, and I think maybe Jared is aware of that, but yeah, I don't think there's any other way to do this. So that store is assured credit. But you may want to ask the store, do they get credit for the zip code that you use for your business? And see, they might get that. And of course, we'll put a direct link to the USPS page for free pickup service in the episode notes for this episode 280. Now, Brian, this next question was emailed to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Lucretia. I love that name. You know why?
Why?
Lucretia Borgia, one of my favorite historical figures. Lucretia Borgia was famous for throwing her discarded lovers off of the ramparts of her huge palace. I'm done with you.
Is she like the Black Widow or something?
Yeah. Now, Lucretia, settle down. We're not claiming that you throw your lovers over the ramparts. We're sure you haven't. But you do have a question, and we're going to do our best to answer it respectfully. Dear Griff and Brian, I win. I have a question that I should know the answer, but I can't figure it out or find it by searching. I still enjoy your podcast and listen every week. Now, that's still word.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about the still word.
It's almost like saying, in spite of everything, I still enjoy your podcast.
I want to know which episode made her think, well, maybe I'm not going to listen to this. Well, okay, I'll listen to it.
Lucretia, you know we're just having fun with you. I learned so much from you and the podcast. My seller name is Plucky_Lucky, Plucky Lucky, and my store name is Lucky's Glass and Beyond. Now, under promotions, says Lucretia, I have my whole store set at 15% off. Good for you. Then I put some of my store categories at buy one, get one free, and others at 50% off. I noticed that only the promotion for 15% off shows up on my listings. The question is, can I only have one promotion at a time? I've looked and I can't find the answer, but knew you'd be able to help me.
Well, that was a great assumption on your part. I hope we can rise to the occasion.
I listen to your podcast every week and learn so much. Thanks, Lucretia.
Well, it is a great question, and we still might be able to help you.
Fingers crossed.
As you've seen, multiple promotions can be added to a single item, and it's actually common for sellers to have tiered promotions or coupons, such as offering 20% off one item and 50% off two or more. It's a good strategy to increase sell-through and cart size. But when a listing is part of two or more promotion campaigns, the buyer will only see one promotion at a time.
Yeah, and I wonder how we decide which promotion to show in that case.
I believe it is algorithms, Griff.
Ugh, algorithms, figures.
Was that a pun intended?
No.
Lucretia, algorithms determine the best promotion for the buyer given their current point in the journey. So depending on the buyer, he or she will see only one of the promotions for a listing that has two or more. And it will be the promotion that the algorithm determines is the best one for this buyer to get them to commit to a purchase.
Right. So you may have two or more promotions that listing will be subject to, but it would be confusing to the buyer if we actually listed all the promotions. So we figure out the best one for them, and that's the one we show.
I hope that makes sense.
I hope so. Lucretia, if it doesn't, you can throw us off the ramparts. We're okay with that.
Yes, and I hope you continue to listen to the show.
After all this, still. It's amazing how a word like still can be so loaded if you read it the wrong way.
Yes, or if you're sensitive like the two of us.
No, we're so sensitive.
Well, our last question before some news this week comes from eBay seller Jason, who has an interesting question. He asks, "Hello, Brian and Griff. I was hoping you could review a request in reference to custom SKUs and detailed reports. I have often listened to your podcast, and one thing that has stuck out was always treating your eBay store like an actual store. Running it like a store and managing it like a store, which I do. I often find entire estate collections and like to add a custom name identifier to the SKU along with the inventory information and date listed. An example would look like this: A1-0224-Harding, where A1 is the tub where I can find it, 0224 is the first listing date, and Harding is the name of the estate collection."
Yeah, cool.
"Unfortunately, once an item sells, I cannot look up or run reports based off pieces of the SKU, only the whole SKU, which I am allowed to look up pieces of the SKU under active listings, so I know it is possible. Currently, I can track specific SKU names under active listings, but I cannot track specific SKU names under solds or all orders that have been completed. This is frustrating for tracking specific sales from large collections. It would be nice to look up the SKU word Harding under all orders and then run a report seeing how much I have made off this collection. Currently, I see no way to do this for sold items. Please let me know if I'm missing something. Thanks for the help on everything, Jason." Griff, is what Jason is trying to do possible?
It is. It is.
Oh,
it
good.
Is. Jason, you can accomplish what you need for a report on SKU name. For example, searching all of your orders for a specific time period by, say, Harding. You can't do it on the orders page. You've seen that. But you can do it by downloading a transaction report from Seller Hub.
Of course, transaction reports. So Jason, to find the downloadable report, you go to Seller Hub and click the Payments tab. Then click the Reports link on the left. Look for Transaction Report under Financial Documents. Click it, set the date and column parameters, and then download it.
Yeah. And then once you've downloaded it, Jason, you can open the report with any spreadsheet app like Excel on a Windows machine or Numbers on a Mac. Or if you don't have either of those, you can always just upload it to Google and then open it in Google Sheets. You'll see a column in the report that's labeled Custom Label, and you can search that particular column for any text data, specifically in this case, just you would say Harding. And then you'd have the data you need to create a report of that filtered data based on that text in the custom label column.
You probably have to resize most of the columns as they don't come pre-formatted to fit the data in each column.
Yeah, and people have asked me why they have to do that. And it's because the format we use is not Excel or, you know, the Google format or the Numbers format. It's a comma-separated value, CSV. And that's because that type of file where the data is separated by a comma can't be pre-formatted to fit into a spreadsheet. It's not possible. When you've downloaded your transaction report, you're always going to have to make some work to resize columns so that the data appears readable. You also may do what I do, because there's a lot of columns I never want to use. I don't care about them. And I just delete them or hide them so that my data is then filtered down to the stuff I need to know for filling out my Schedule C.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, Brian, that's it for this week's questions.
It is. Well, if you have questions, why not ask us? You can always call in your questions on 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. Call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air.
If you're not a call-on-the-phone person, you can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now, as we do every week, it's your three-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
If you source pre-owned apparel, new or pre-owned, it pays to stay on top of trends. Do what I do. I follow a lot of apparel retailers by getting their mail order catalogs, and you can take advantage that way of their market research without spending a cent. And this will help guide you with sourcing the right apparel that buyers are looking for right now on eBay.
That's a great idea. Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
And on our next episode, we're going to be talking 1099Ks again, this time with Kevin Vreeth. He owns and operates Seller Ledger, which is an online bookkeeping tool for eBay sellers. We're going to talk about preparing for the upcoming filing deadline for taxes on April 15, 2024.
That sounds like an interesting one. We'd like to again thank our guests this week, Catherine Danielson from the eBay Fashion Team, and Griff. Before we sign off, I have some news to share with our loyal listeners.
Oh, brother. Okay.
I just want to let all of our listeners know that effective March 1st, after much deliberation, I have decided to leave eBay.
I kind of knew this, but
it's time for me to think about the next phase of my life and kind of focus on that. After decades in Silicon Valley and almost 25 years here at eBay, it's time for kind of the next chapter, and I'm looking forward to it. The things I will miss are people like you, Griff, in the company, and all the sellers that I've had the pleasure to come in contact with. And even those that may not have spoken to in person, but have read their emails and questions to us. The seller community is, bar none, the best in the world.
I agree. And I've known about this for several months now and have kept it under my hat. And I will have a goodbye statement for you on our last podcast, which I believe will be
a couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks. So I'll wait to make any of my comments. But in the meantime, I'll tell you, you know, I've enjoyed this so much. I would hate doing this. I will not like doing this podcast without you. But I understand we all move on in life. Nothing lasts forever. And I'm happy for you. And
I may be coming to visit you in April, because I'm going to go down and visit my brother in San Diego. You know, Palm Springs is an easy stop off on the way to San Diego.
Well, maybe we'll record a small little segment to see your first month of retirement.
I may be begging to come back and be co-host.
I wouldn't say no. Well, Brian, it is a pleasure. Thank you so much for all you've given. And I'll have more to say in the final episode, which I believe is episode 282, which will be okay. The last one we have with Brian. So stay tuned, and thanks again.
My pleasure. It's been an absolute blast to be able to do this. I never thought I would be on a podcast in my life, and you make it extremely easy, and it's been a lot of fun.
It has been. It's been great fun these last 4 years, 5 years now. Well, the eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Good night, Brian.
Good night, Griff.